Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yes, so you're recording.
What story?
You're recording out in Arizona.
All right. You're good. You're here for.
No, that's what.
For the sidetrack.
Don't apologize for anything.
So one time Ryan did something cool, if you weren't listening.
Yeah.
TLDR.
One time I did.
So, recording in Arizona, and we recorded an album, and we came back, put out the album, and, you know, it's just Sacramento, it's just like you're just a kid, and you're playing punk rock, and you're putting out albums, but nobody gives a shit. Like, you're not, like, making hella money, you're just paying for your strings, and your guitars, and your amps, and all that.
Yeah.
So, but it was good, man. I gotta say, man, looking back, I listened to some of those songs, and honestly, now I think they're a lot better than I thought they were at the time. You know?
Ain't that wild in, like, retrospect?
Yeah. I look back, and I'm like, oh, I have a friend. We both have a mutual friend.
I just recently, like, re-released on my YouTube channel a song that I recorded, like, when I was 18. So this is, like, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just put it up on YouTube, and, like, friends that I have now, and it's like, that's a pretty dope song.
Dude, and, you know...
And I was like, dude, I hated it for years.
You ever heard of a book called The War of Art?
Thanks, dude.
You ever heard of a book called The War of Art?
Come on, tell me about it.
War of Art. So it's based on the art of war. And it's about how being an artist, the core value of being an artist of any kind is production.
Well, yeah, always.
You're not there. And it's tough because when you're an amateur artist, you're in a band or you're a writer, you're doing your own thing, you spend so much time critiquing your own work.
Yeah.
That's not your job.
No, it's not.
Your job is to produce.
It's to create
put
art.
Put out. You got to quit worrying about whether it's good or bad.
That's the greatest thing about this podcast is, like, we average 2 episodes a week, and I want to get to more. And then, like...
That's what you need to do.
But it's quality content. And, like, okay, not every episode is going to be a hit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
That's not your job.
That's not my job.
That's not your job.
I'm creating content.
Your job is to create.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm moving.
This is what the whole book is about. I mean, you think about, like, a hugely famous musician. You know, you take Madonna or Prince or somebody like that. It's like, they didn't write 30 good songs. They wrote...
They got hits.
They wrote 700 songs. Mm-hmm. And 30 of them were good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what being an artist is you produce an enormous amount of art, so much so that a small percentage of it, enough of it, is good enough to make you a name. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being right every time. It's about producing art over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's going to suck. And a lot of it's going to be garbage. And a lot of it's going to be off the mark. It's going to be nasty and grindy and middling. And we're going to get off track all the time and whatever.
Yeah.
But your job is to produce. That's your job as an artist. And you do it long and hard enough with enough commitment.
People talk about it.
And people talk about it. People give a shit. And you have some, you know, and then it becomes something.
Yeah.
It's been incredibly challenging for me, where I want to make every little thing perfect and fiddle with the little bits and pick things apart. And
is that where you're at now? Or is that where you're at then?
I mean, I've been that way my whole life. Like, I'm a perfectionist. I get meticulous.
You 100%er when it comes to video games?
I get a little bit.
Every achievement.
No. I'm into the art of the game.
What do you mean?
Like, the psychology of the game and what the game is, right? So, like, I like diving into something where it's an entirely new puzzle. It's an entirely new experience, an entirely new thing you've never experienced before in your life. But for me, the moment I figure it out, the moment I'm like, okay,
it's like a lot turning.
I see what this is, and what the rest of it's gonna be. I'm good. Like, I know what the rest of it's gonna be. Like, I don't want to do it to 100%. Once it gets here, you're just doing the same thing over and over. I'm done. Move on. So I play a ton of games, like, just to that point where it starts to get repetitive, and move to the next thing. And
what's the correlation with your gaming to music?
Music.
I'm going to interject real quick. Because one thing that I've noticed with Jesse playing games, because he plays games different than me. Like, I'm an old man. I'll play the repetitive games because it helps me I have to disattach from reality.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, blank out. And so I play 2K. It's the most repetitive game ever. I'm doing the same thing every time I play 2K. Yeah. But I play 2K because I can play it and then I can go to sleep. Yeah. But I have to play it, and I have to run with it for whatever, 45 minutes or whatever, and then now I'm not going to worry about what I have to do tomorrow. Now I'm not going to worry about all these things, and so it zones me in. But Jesse, he'll play a game, and I remember watching him. I've never seen anybody do this, but he will take away things and then play the game. So, like, let's say, like, back in the day, there was a game called Red Alert, Command & Conquer, or whatever you want to call it, and he would just make it really hard for himself. And I would always be like, why are you making the game harder on yourself? But he would, like he would do it without certain weapons and play somebody who had them.
With, like, Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I'll go in naked.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Same deal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he would always try to be like, no, I don't just play the game because I know I'll destroy them. So he would self-impose more obstacles to overcome so that he could get the achievement. And, like, I have never played a video game like that. I'm always like, oh, I'm not pro, I'm not rookie, see, I'm the middle guy, and if I win that, dude, then I feel satisfied.
A buddy of mine told me that, like, he was like, you could sell your Xbox gamer tag because of your gamer score is so high, and, like, people would pay money for that. See, it's like, I'm so meticulous. This is why I had to get away from video games.
Yeah.
Was like, I was such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I wanted to 100% every game.
See, I don't do that. I'm not meticulous like that.
I didn't want to just beat it. I wanted to own it.
I'm not meticulous like that. I like the psychology of it. So I'm meticulous about, like, the design and the psychology and the progression of the game. Like, I want to figure out what the puzzle's about. And once I know what the puzzle's about, I'm done. Like, once I know how to play the game, I'm done.
I wish I could approach it that way. But, like, the thing about gaming and why I had to step away, and, like, it was just taking over my life. And
I mean, people do that with fishing.
Yeah, right. Hunting or anything.
Yeah. But the thing, the difference is, like, Ryan's looking for a reason to, like, not give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a reason to give a fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking for something to, like, okay, now I gotta try. Like, oh, do I gotta make an effort at this? Okay, now I gotta, like, work hard and pay attention and concentrate. And now I gotta make an effort? Okay, this is fun. And then as soon as I got it figured out, I'm like, well, this isn't an effort.
Bored?
This isn't an effort anymore. I'm bored. Move on to the next thing. I want something. I'm going to learn a new thing. I want like a hurdle all the time.
So like going back to music, like what happened after Phoenix and all that? Was it you got
bored?
Well,
Phoenix and all that, we put out an album and it, I mean, it was what it was. We were teenagers. I think I was 18.
I mean, to be honest, if y'all wanted to make it, you should have sold the album. And they should have set up a tour, and they should have gone around. But things got ugly or whatever, and so they never... So
well, when I was 18, and that was never even an idea. Like, yeah. It never occurred to me, like, oh, we should, like, buy a van, and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, strobe light.
We should buy a van and, like, tour. That was never even... I didn't even know that was a possibility. So we just recorded this album, and I don't know, everything I've done has just been kind of a hobby. Always, I just like was like, oh, this would be fun right now, and then I get bored and move on.
What did it look like after that?
What do you mean?
Well, you started joining. He just means like musically. You came out to Memphis for a little while. I remember you picked up. You're playing some weird bands.
Oh, I was
in
playing
Memphis.
Some like rock and roll band. We played like Three Doors Down and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, remember? Okay, so we go. So I'm playing in this band.
So now I moved to Memphis.
So I moved to Memphis.
Hang out with me for a little while. We got a house in Midtown off Cleveland, which to me, Cleveland's where all the zombies, because it's just people walking around at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was Memphis.
We called them zombies, man. Deep in Memphis.
Middle Memphis.
Cleveland's got a little bit better.
Working in the mall.
Yeah, we were.
And some guy comes up to me and goes, hey, you're a musician, man. I got a band going. Like, you want to join this rock and roll band?
Because that's the way you did it back then, you know?
And I hadn't been playing music for years, so I'm like, yeah, sure. So we joined this rock and roll band. We're playing, like, Three Doors Down and all of that. I couldn't even name those bands.
Mm-mm.
It's Superman and...
Yeah, you weren't listening to that stuff, but you were
like butt rock band. So we go play
that's
this.
That's wild that that's a genre now. Butt rock.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It's real. I was in
it's
one.
There.
I was in it. Playing this warehouse. We go play this show. And there's this house band called, I think they were called Jester. And their drummer was like some crazy metal drummer who just would like, he had all those stick tricks. Like he juggled the sticks while he was playing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Flip them around and do all that crazy shit. They're a metal band. And then they had bands like, it was like an amateur night. They'd have like bullshit bands playing between them. So we get up on stage and their bass player is this like ogre of a man. And he's got strap locks on his bass, which means he's got a leather strap that like weaves into itself. And then the strap, there's these like pegs that connect to the end of the strap, and they plug into either side of your guitar, and they keep the strap from falling out. The problem is, to adjust those woven leather straps, you need to take the strap out. Look kind of like a belt, right? But with strap locks, you can't. So this ogre of a man hands me his bass guitar.
It's like down by your
and
dick.
It's like the top of the bass is at my knees.
Shit.
And I go, like, can I adjust this at all? And he didn't even say a word. He just shook his head.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. So I played the entire show, like...
On your knee.
Completely, like, rock and roll style on my knee. And I'll never forget that show. Were you at that show? I don't know if you were there.
No, I didn't go.
Oh, yeah. Ozzy was there.
Ozzy might have been.
No, there's a story that he was telling me while we were outside, and I wanted to bring it up. And I know it's kind of off topic, but like, his mom used to dunk on Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
Dunk on what?
Your mother.
So Jesse's mom is so much cooler than him. I really wish we were podcasting with her because she...
His mother used to dunk on Tom Hanks.
Yeah. No, she's awesome. His mom is so much cooler than Jesse. She's Wiccan.
You're a piece of shit.
She's Wiccan, like, which just makes her interesting anyway. Like, I didn't even know anything about that culture, but when I first started getting to know Jesse, you know, they had this, I told you about the detached garage.
We were talking about Forrest Gump, and he's like, oh, by the way, my mom used to make fun of Tom Hanks.
Well,
and I'm like, fuck?
They had this detached garage. You know, and that's where we hung out and everything. So just like whatever, boys, we just go outside and pee. And there's this lemon tree right there. And I was like, and so I just was going to town peeing on this lemon tree, man.
Oh, you're setting the acid. You're setting the acid for it.
I'm unloading the tank, and Jesse's like, dude, that's my grandma.
Oh, they poured ashes on it?
She's a Wiccan, man, so she like they.
Wait, the lemon tree?
Yeah.
Is what?
Your grandma. You gotta get over here in the mic.
No, that's me.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right. The lemon tree. I'm sorry.
Are you eating Munson pizza? Yeah. Give me a slice.
The lemon tree
Munson pizza
was brunch. From your placenta. That's right.
No. Yeah.
But the your grandma's back shit. There, and I've peed on and I've peed on. Oh.
Oh my God.
Jesse's fat ass just broke my chair.
Damn, dude.
This is why we don't have nice things.
What are we gonna do now?
So
pull up that stool from the
she's
piano.
She's cool though. She went to college. What a jerk! Just he literally broke the chair and now he's walking off. He's just grabbing another chair.
It's your interview, you asshole.
Just keep where on you moving. Going. So his mom went to college with Tom Hanks, and they said that he was kind of nerdy, and that like they didn't really give him a time of day, and now they all regret it because he's. They were regretting that shit.
Like, you know who built that chair?
What?
You know who built that chair?
Who built that chair?
It was Catherine's grandfather.
You should have done a better job.
No, man, that's not. Most of the stuff around here was built by probably Catherine's grandfather, but that one was not.
You know what sucks is I felt that going. I felt that leg, like something's wrong here.
And you're just into it?
Oh, so you're saying you intentionally did it.
Yeah, I just wanted
to... You know what sucks is I intentionally broke that chair.
I just wanted to teach you a lesson.
I'm just glad it wasn't me.
Thanks, I feel smarter.
It's very fixable, though.
I'll be alright.
Anyway, like back to the story, like Tom Hanks and your mother.
I'm trying to talk about his mom, and like he's doing whatever he can to distract me.
I'd like to do a plug for Munson Brothers Pizza if you're finding yourself in. It's good pizza.
Anybody know any woodworkers in town?
Hey, you just need a couple of nails for that job. Anyway, back to your mother.
Yeah, no, my mom's badass. Craziest party I've ever been to in my life. My dad's 50th birthday party.
I think about your dad's 50th birthday. Oh my God. That was the first gig we ever played.
Was it?
Yeah, that was our first show. And then David Secretion said he'd play drums for us. And he did. And I aspire to be like his dad because his dad had everybody. Everybody came out who was 50. I thought, man, to be 50 years old and have this many people come out to celebrate and support you. I remember even being 18 or 17 or 6. I don't even, we were young.
Yeah.
However old we were. I remember being that age going, man, I hope on my 50th that this many people
right.
come out to celebrate me.
Too, man.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, you know, they built a hospital named after him.
What?
Yeah, there's a hospital named after my dad. Sacramento. It's Greg Bunker Care Center of Excellence or something like that. So
that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
It's amazing. I just gave a speech. I'll just send you all the stuff. Sorry.
I think I looked you up.
You tell the story about drama class with your mom and Tom Hanks, so for real.
I don't have a...
I don't know if it's a banger or anything.
I don't have a specific story.
His mom used to make fun of Tom Hanks because he was an outsider.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
That shit's dope.
Yeah, she said she kind of spat on him a little bit.
Kind of a bitch.
Spat on him a little
bit. He was he was just a nerdy dude.
He was like a freckle-faced little, you know what I mean, spat on him.
No. And now, fucking cool.
By the way, have you ever seen, like, we were talking about this outside, whoever was, like, the stunt guy for when...
Oh, yeah.
Forrest Gump, went from, like, running from the bullies as a kid, like, with the braces falling off his legs, to being... a teenager, and Jenny is like, run, Forrest, run. And next thing you know, he's like dipping off the dirt road. And then like, watch that scene real close. That dude hurdles like a 5-foot fence. Like it ain't shit. I want to know if he like had like cables on him. Like, it just, it looks so wild, you know?
Man, that movie, you know, he like, did you see the movie that made us? They do a whole thing on that. On that Forrest Gump.
That's
man.
Why we're talking about it.
That's why we're here.
All right, sorry.
This was actually a podcast about Forrest Gump.
Well, we left you out on purpose.
Well, thanks. But now I'm catching up. That movie, dude, it hits everything, right? I watched that movie with my grandma. My grandma did not like the scene where she was humping the dude to get the kid, keep her kid in school. And my grandma said,
it's a bit much.
No. And that's all she said about it. But remember, my grandma made me watch that movie. Everybody else went to go see another movie. She's like, "Oh, Ryan, you're coming with me. We're gonna watch Forrest Gump." I was like, all right.
Well, I mean, you're making people watch movies
you?
About a guy.
Yeah, my grandma and I went to the theater.
Things you can fly.
Huh?
I mean, you're the sharing movies about guys that can fly.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
That's Ryan's share.
Same shit.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
I'm not going to talk about the movie The Boy Who Fly
I
Here.
I don't want to. But let's get back on track.
Yeah.
Memphis. Music.
Oh, yeah.
Three Doors Down.
Oh, yeah.
But then you left. You went back home. And then you were in bands.
I went back home.
So you came to Memphis to hang out with Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd you go back?
Because I was done hanging out with Ryan.
Yeah, it just... You
fair
know.
Enough. Fizzled out.
It ran its course. It really did.
No. I don't know. I just wasn't doing anything. And it just was... We're just kind of fucking around. And it was aimless. And I don't know.
It was a lot of fun, man. So it was me.
We had a lot of fun.
And Jesse and this guy named Chad Hardy.
Oh.
Chad Hardy, we just kind of adopted. Like, he just showed Chad up Hardy. One day. He started sleeping on our couch.
I didn't even know his name was Chad Hardy. We just called him Guy on the Couch.
We called him Guy on the Couch because he just showed up that way and he embraced it. And then we moved and he moved with us.
It feels like a stoner movie.
Like he just, yeah it was.
Half-baked, I think.
Yeah, we moved and he moved with us. He was like in college and he just was there. And we three, we just made everything. It turned back into...
Is he still there?
No, he's now in Thailand.
Thailand, yeah.
He lives in Thailand. He's doing stuff.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah. I told you about him.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude's dope.
Yeah, he's dope.
He got off the couch.
Yeah, dude, he just does his own thing, but like...
Oh, no, he was... And he went to Purdue and shit.
Yeah, he went to Purdue. He graduated with a master's.
No, guy on the couch was better than any of us.
Yeah, right? He is.
Yeah.
He just happened to be on the couch.
Yeah, he was just on the couch.
Yeah.
That wasn't an insult. Guy on the couch.
He used to be, like, just in the bed.
He was really proud of me.
I was this couch. Guy in the bed. I wasn't better than him.
That's right. He just had our own room. That's all.
You were always awake.
I was. No, man. That so we three, it turned into, that house turned into exactly what Jesse and I were doing when the kids, when the kids were waiting for the kids to get off school and we're just trying to have fun. That's what that place
it
turned
was.
Into.
We had a food drive. We got cable one time.
Yeah, we had a food drive because we needed money for food. So we just had a party.
So we got cable, and then because we had cable, we couldn't afford food anymore. So we had a little cane food drive.
Yeah,
it was a cable celebration.
Yeah, so we bought a bunch of beer, made a watermelon with
so many
Everclear
people brought
and
us food. It was amazing.
Yeah, and so we said, you guys can come to the party, but you have to bring food. And so when we were in our 20s, and all these people started showing up with these giant cans of food. Some people got some weird stuff. They're being really cruel.
I know they're being
we
funny.
We ate every bit of it. I
we
don't care.
We were trying to be funny. It was like, no, really. Like I wanna,
potted meat.
I need food.
It's like, no, I don't know about this cow's
I love the joke, but I'm sad I have to eat this.
Yeah. And we had party after party after party. I mean, that became like I didn't know what was going to happen every night at that place. It was just, it was Animal House all over again.
I remember Chad had a Kung Fu movie collection, a lot of Wu-Tang Clan, not the band, the Kung Fu movies.
Yeah, the Kung Fu movies. He had this one where they're like, nobody had any arms and legs and they're all fighting.
If anybody doesn't know that, Wu-Tang Clan is Kung Fu movies. That's what the band is named after.
Band.
So he had a huge...
Wu-Tang Forever.
So he had a huge Kung Fu movie collection. And this is right when DVDs became a thing.
Like DVDs just came out. We had a
DVDs had just come out. They were brand new. And I was like, well, collecting is cool, man.
We had a PlayStation. And so, yeah. Like, remember? Because we could play all the DVDs.
Yeah. Jesus, got collecting.
I mean, like, there was a period there when, I don't know, like, a bunch of dudes. But we thought that, like, DVDs were coming out. And so we thought that, like, porn was going to be revolutionized.
And I started collecting porn.
Nobody started collecting porn.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
So all this.
So there was a Kung Fu movie collection. And I was like, I want a collection.
At least she was in the Asian shit.
And then I started collecting porn and all this porn.
But we thought that there was going to be like camera angle changes. Like you could stop mid-position and see a different angle. Like we thought that DVD is going to revolutionize
what's going on.
And
then the Bang Bros came.
Yeah, it didn't. And then it was more shocking just to have it playing. Like we just have it playing. And it was just like, I don't know why. Why do we
it
have
was a, really, turn it? Because I just wanted to collect something.
Yeah, so you were in there.
I just wanted to collect the weirdest thing I could think of.
And that was pretty weird. And we had like a.
You didn't think about ninja swords or something like that?
No. I know, I could have made a lot of better decisions, but I thought it was funny.
He was into that, so, you know.
Yeah.
The thing is, you didn't watch it. You just had
No, I just had, I was just collecting.
At least if you did watch it, I wasn't around. I mean, you know, it wasn't...
No.
It was the most normal way to ever collect porn. You know what I mean? Like
three dudes lived there. The TV was in the living room. When are you going to watch porn in the living room?
Yeah, nobody ever did. Unless we all, like, wait, there's lots of
people. We all did it one time.
It was one of those things where, like, hey, there's over 12 people here. Let's put some porn on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we just throw it on.
That's what everybody does.
Just to make everybody uncomfortable a little bit.
I was just collecting it. I don't know why.
And we had a...
I just thought collecting was a cool idea.
Yeah, we had Fear and Loathing. We had that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And we just played that one all over.
Chad had... Yeah. Not for your loathing.
At our Pulp house party, Fiction, we would play.
Chad would watch
play
Pulp Fiction,
Tropic
like,
Thunder, Fear and Loathing, and Pulp Fiction. Like those would always be in rotation at the party.
Oh, dude, I watched Pulp Fiction with Chad so many times at that house. It was incredible.
Do you sure you want to share this night with anybody? Maybe we should start over. Let's start over. Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is hey, I'm Alan Aldridge, and this is Paul.
Alan Aldridge.
I'm a total dipshit.
Hey, if you see me, be sure to give me a high five because I love them.
Erica told me this is a good idea. Fuck you, Erica.
Oh wow! Don't talk about Mama Bear like
that.
Please don't hurt me, Erica. I'm kidding.
That woman will figure out a way to go to Sacramento and find you just to kick you in the nuts.
I know.
She's gone so far as to Alaska.
I love you know, just every dude being scared of you is just the coolest thing.
Yeah, we're all immediately like, a
the whole room goes, whoa, we don't want any part of that. I'm kidding,
Erica. Would be like, I 96 these 20 guys.
Please don't hurt me, Erica. I love you. Like, well, I adore you. You're my favorite person.
Yeah, she's cool.
You're the whole world. Please don't hurt me.
No, Jesse talks shit. I heard it.
Everybody's like, oh.
All right, we got sidetracked again.
I know I bullshit a lot. I bullshitted for this 4 years. But, what about after Memphis? Like after you departed and you went back to California? What would life look like then?
Right, he got real cold and sad for him.
Let me think.
He never left his house.
Wait, hold on. Let me think. I went back.
That's when you moved in with Rat.
You live with a rat.
I'm
not the one from the Ninja Turtle.
No, now we're finally come full circle.
Shredder?
That's a good question. Okay, I moved out of Memphis, came back to Sacramento. This cafe opened by Kevin Seconds from 7 Seconds, the like hardcore band. He opened a cafe, and I went there, and this was like the week I got back. I went there, and it was this cool cafe, kind of like Munson and Brothers. It was this cool place, and I went up to them, and I was like, hey, I want to work here. And they were like, okay, well, we don't really have any employees. And I was like, well, that's fine. I could be the first one. And they're like, well, we can't really afford to pay you. And I was like, you don't have to pay me. I'll work for tips. So they're like, okay, well, you're hired, I guess. Like,
kind of here?
I guess we'll let you behind the counter. Was essentially the agreement. They weren't paying me. So I started working at this cafe.
It's called True Love.
It's called True Love Cafe.
Brilliant name.
And it was an incredible spot. It was really magical. It's just, you know, kind of like, it had that same, like,
back homey, in Sacramento.
Yeah, in Sacramento. Kind of that same homey vibe. You could just live there. And it was amazing. And so I worked there for a long time. And I also worked in an elementary school and, like, hung out with kids and, you know, played dodgeball and all that shit. Played soccer.
Like, oh, my God. Some, like, he worked with Madison these kids. Shit. He worked with these kids, and one time I happened upon this man. He's over here. He's watching some kids. And I'm like, I want to see what this dude's doing with these kids. You know?
Shit.
Right? So
it's bad enough that you're hearing about it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm like, what
it's
do you do?
It's worse that you know the guy.
I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, I work with some kids. I watch them. I said, okay. And so I wanted to see what he was doing with them. And so I kind of snuck up on the way it worked is like a concrete freaking jungle, and the kids like could play out there in the concrete area, and it's all chain link fenced in because it keeps them from escaping and stuff. And so I went up to one of these chain link fences, and I was looking down upon Jesse and all these kids. And Jesse, he was sitting like Buddha style. He had his arms out with his fingers and kind of like his fingers all clasped, and he's like sitting Indian style, and he was humming, just like, he's like,
fuck these kids.
And these kids had these dodgeballs, and they were bouncing it and trying to hit him, and they couldn't. And the one girl goes, I can't hit him. And he goes, see, kids, that's the power of Zen. Zen, guys. That's the power. And they were trying to hit him. And
kind of California weed were you on? Right.
And I thought, this guy is, he's perverting these children.
Yeah, well. Something you gotta do.
And now we know.
This guy's
Jesse working. Is the reason for the bullshit in Sacramento. We said,
no.
I thought, this guy's, he's
just doing my part.
This guy's playing the devil for these children.
Anybody else?
Oh my God, Jesse.
He was teaching the power of Zen. And it was really, it was beautiful. It was really fun. It's like, this guy is, he's just on the level.
What are you looking for? What's wrong with you, man?
I'm looking for a drink.
You mean the full bottle of whiskey you've been working on for 2 days? Oh, I'm sorry, your drink.
Yeah, that's fun.
So he did that for a while. And then you moved in with Mickey Rat.
Then I moved in with Mickey Rat. And then I started, and then I joined this really popular band, this punk band called Last Chance. And it was a really good band. And I didn't know what I was doing. But I was just apologizing the whole time. Like, oh, sorry, guys.
I love it, because he says he doesn't know what he's doing. But I'm telling you, when he's 15, 16 years old, he's playing higher ground. Like, he's playing Flea. And he's still, at this point, now he's 28, 30 years old, and he's still...
Still apologizing,
because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I still don't know
what he's doing. And obviously, by this time, he's like, he's not even a bullshit artist anymore. Like, he totally knows what he's doing.
No, I don't know what I'm
doing. Like, you're not even faking it till you make it
anymore. I don't know what I'm doing right now, you guys.
No, we know that.
No,
that's... That's awesome.
Been drinking Johnny Depp whiskey all day. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
No, I just...
Tell us about it. Last Chance.
No, it's one of those things. You know, honestly, I had this huge... I hope I'm not too drunk to convey this. I had this huge, like, kind of moral crisis where it was like, dude, I'm just bullshit. Like, I don't know anything about music. I don't know how music's supposed to work. I don't know any of the keys. I don't know any chords. I don't know any theory. I don't know fucking anything. But, like, when I go to sound check, when they go, all right, drums, and it's like, do, 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 do.
You know what to do.
Snare, pop, 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 pop. All right, hi-hat. And he goes, bass. And I would never just play a note. I'd play a little riff.
Uh-huh.
I'd play something cool. Usually from some song people knew. You know, like some Lagwagon, some NoFX or something.
and the whole crowd would go like this. Like during my sound check, the whole crowd would go like this. And I was like, all right.
Spirit fingers.
So they just, because I play hella fast, and so they just do that, and I was like, all right.
Just
like,
so you guys, just so you guys know, he's putting his hands up in the air, and he's...
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
He's wiggling his fingers
up in the air. They'd all put their hands up in the air and wiggle their fingers when I was playing my stupid sound check. And I was like, okay, what kind of asshole looks out at a crowd of 150 kids putting their hands up in the air when you do a sound check, and then pretends they suck at music? You know what I mean? Like, it was that conundrum where it's like, I still feel it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I don't know what I'm doing, but clearly a crowd full of people thinks what I'm doing is cool.
I'm feeling it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that, at some point...
You've been
like
selling yourself short.
At some point, it's humble, and at some point, you're just being a fucking asshole.
Yeah, well, you're to yourself.
Yeah.
Well, right. To them, too. It's like, oh, no, 200 people are cheering for me. They don't know anything.
How far do you stake that claim, though?
What do you mean?
You know, it's like from being like humble or to an asshole is like, I think there's...
Did you say asshole?
Yeah. Asshole. Yeah.
Asshole. You said from to an asshole.
He just got southern as fuck. I know who you're trying to impress, but I'm impressed.
You curbed it up.
I know the girl that's listening right now.
Yeah.
And she really likes that.
That curl, her fucking tongue.
She's from New York and she is listening.
She said, asshole.
Asshole. I can't even do it again if I try.
It's not about taking it anywhere. It's like you like a legit believe. You legit are just doing this thing because you like doing it. You don't know fuck all about how it's supposed to work. Then you think everybody else around you knows
what you're doing. Well, I mean, on top of that, it's like you're looking out into the crowd and you're seeing all these people.
Yeah, but you're not...
You didn't know that.
Sure. I'm not talking about like a performative... trying to be humble. I'm talking about like a legit, you're like, well, I mean, I guess I'm okay, but like all these other people are better. Right? And then at some point you have to acknowledge that, like,
hey, you're pretty cool.
Yeah, like, okay, well, some people think I'm legit, you know? And at some point I started to be like, I just had that whole like fight with myself. Like, am I more of an asshole if I pretend that all these people are idiots and, like, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
It does.
You're an artist. You got a bunch of people appreciating your art, and you're like, oh, I suck.
I feel like that's the most pretentious thing you could possibly do.
For most people, it's like they don't even get to see it. It doesn't happen until after they die.
Right? Oh, sure.
So, you know, not like...
And I'm not trying to be dumb.
Everybody's been like, hey, Ryan Munson, your pizza's great.
Yeah.
In my head, I don't think it sucks. Yeah. I don't think it sucks.
But you're like, it's okay.
Why would you create anything that sucked? Right. Why would you like give that to the public?
It's good.
Yeah, but people do that all the time.
But there's so much more room, and I want to take it to the experience. But then you get people in there,
and then suddenly you got a full bar like tonight. You got a full crowd. Full bar,
and then people are telling me, "Hey,
and everybody's this like, this best is pizza." I heard people say this is the best pizza I've ever had in my life.
So cool, but I'm in my head. I'm like, but it's not. Ready.
I know, but it's at what point yet. Are you like? If say you got the, say you got say that place gets to that the point. Say Munson Brothers gets to where it's like packed every night.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, how's your bar doing? And you're like, I mean, that sucks. I'm kind of, you know, whatever. I'm just whatever. Like, I feel personally like at some point that kind of makes you the asshole.
But like, here's
like
my,
at some point it surpasses humility.
And here's my like, worry. Here's my
it's
worry.
It's you when, disparaging the people who appreciate you.
I hear what you're
you.
Saying.
You know what I'm
but
saying?
My worry. I hear what you're saying. But yeah. my worry is. Maybe my psychological worry is if I admit to myself that's good pizza, then it's like you and your video games when you figured it out.
Then you're done.
And you're done. And then you walk away.
I mean,
but if I sit there and tell myself for some reason, like, no, it's not completely finished, it's not right, then it drives me to keep.
Well, and I agree with that. It should never be right. It should never be right. Like, you should never go, I'm done. Like, I don't, like, as a musician, any musician, you're never done. There's always, as good as you ever get, there's always somebody better than you around the corner. Right? Yeah. There's, like, legit somebody within a mile of you that will smoke you. You know? No matter how, and what happens is the better you get, the more, and the same thing happens in physics.
Right.
The more you understand, the more you realize, oh my God, there's all these amazing, there's so much more, right? And I always liken it to like a candle in a dark room.
You go to physics, it's like the more I know is like the smaller I am.
It's a candle in a dark room. The brighter the candle gets, the more your knowledge grows, the bigger you realize the room is. You're like, oh shit, like there's so much I don't know. And that's exactly how knowledge works. And music's the same way. The more you understand about music, the more you see all these people who are doing shit you've never even comprehended. You know, like the more you understand about how these phenomenal, brilliant, unique people are doing things that will never occur to you in your lifetime. That you just literally don't have a brain built to create that kind of music. And granted, you can create your own thing. But you just realize there's so much out there you don't understand. There's so many genres. You know, you grow up usually within a genre of music. You're like, oh, I was a punk rocker. And I'm like, I'm a pretty sick punk rock bass player. And then I hear all these other genres of music and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of unbelievable musicians out here doing stuff that I don't know if I could even do if I tried, you know? And that's how, like...
I don't think that should discourage you from putting your music out, though. Agreed. Because I believe it should exist. Even if it doesn't hold up to that market. And, like, I don't... like.
No,
with,
and
with
I'm
Porch
not...
Talk is, like, Ryan was on it under his moniker, Can Rabbit. But, like, we put out a record of, like, the field recordings of Porch Talk.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like you're...
And it exists... On that, it's not available on Spotify or Amazon. Yeah. You have the record or you don't, and it's something that could be hung up on your wall as an art piece because we had a folk artist,
like I was saying, the war of art.
Whether you listen to it or not, it can be on your wall, or it can be you can listen to it.
But that's the war of art. Your job as an artist is to create.
That's it.
Not to appraise, right? You just create. If you want to be an artist, you just create.
But like, I don't know, like, I didn't let you finish your thought, but, like, I don't know. I guess you need to finish your thought, but, like, my suggestion is we should all create and put things out there, whether...
That's what art is.
Exactly.
And the idea is, like,
and it may be shit.
That's not your job.
That is not your job.
It's a deal with God, right? It's a deal. The deal with God is I'll provide the quantity, and you leave the quality to God.
How about that?
Well, if you want to get all God about it.
Well, sometimes you got to.
But yeah.
Dude, everything I do has an element of faith, and God is this. The whole point is if you anything's going to be out there, like you're, I can only go so far.
So let's talk about God, because the whole idea of God is this unquantifiable, unqualifiable presence, right? That's the whole concept.
Yeah.
The whole concept of God.
But not what I'm trying to
say. Is this idea of this intent or intelligence that you can't possibly understand.
Sure, or harness.
Right?
Right.
And that is exactly what creativity is. Like you said, like whether you want it to be religious or not, the idea is that you can't possibly understand what good means. You know, and maybe right now, and this has happened thousands of times with artists, nobody gives a shit about you, and in 100 years, you're celebrated worldwide as a genius, right? Like, you don't have power over that part of it, which is part of the whole idea of a divinity or God, is like letting go of this. Like, you don't have power over all this stuff.
That's true.
And you're just putting your faith...
I've had three people who have been on this podcast who have passed away.
And you don't have power.
I don't have power over that. And those are the most downloaded and the most celebrated episodes.
Well, you know what I would say about that? Like, my father passed away. My father was an incredible man. And my you know, his best friend, who's like my second father, he also passed away. Like, really, you know, tragic ways, right? And my thought process, for whatever reason, because I'm a weirdo, has always been like, look, if it happened in reverse, what would your decision be? Like, pretend instead of meeting this person and befriending this person and getting to know this person and falling in love with this person and having this whole relationship, and then they die tragically, and then you go through this incredibly painful experience of like the loss and all that. Somebody approached you and went, hey, tell you what.
Well, it's...
If you go through this really painful loss experience and all this pain and all this sadness, here's what you get. You get this person in your life that's going to do this and this and this and this for you, and this and this and this, and make you this happy and provide you this and give you this friendship, and you get to have this whole experience with this person, and the price you pay is this pain, but you paid it in reverse. Right? You could pay all that loss, all that heartbreak, and all that pain, but you pay it first. Like, every single one of us would go, hell yeah, I'm in.
Yes.
Like, my dad, if I could go through all that pain first, and they go, hey, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get all this stuff. Sure. So it's like, yeah, all that pain of loss, it's just the price we pay for having these incredible people in our lives, right?
Yes.
Like, that's... And so... It's like, it sucks, and it's awful, and I know all these people who are, like, my dad passing away just ruined me for a while.
Dude.
For way longer than it should have, just wrecked me. But it's like...
It'll be 1 year on November 27th, my dad died.
Yeah.
His 1 year anniversary is coming up.
And it's like, if you had to do it reverse, if somebody went, hey... Here's, you gotta have this pain and go through all this. You want this person in your life? Like, tell me you wouldn't go, hell yeah.
Yeah, man, I'd do
whatever. Right?
But like,
I'd do whatever.
And I want to open
it's
this up.
It's just the price we pay.
Ryan and I have talked about this.
And right? When you have...
When it comes to art, is like, I feel a division. And Ryan and I have talked about this. Is like, when it comes to art and my spiritual beliefs or religion... Like, I feel a polarizing divide, and
through between your art and religion.
Yes, and through like conversations with Ryan, like I have, like we had this conversation like 2 weeks ago, and I have begun to like, I've been able to like begin to like the crossroad that was dividing more, like through our conversation, I was able to like bring it back together. And like I thought like what he told me that night was, we were just on the phone, it was a short conversation, and we were talking about like this, the artistic approach and the idea of God and like spirituality. And like in my mind at that time, like I thought it had to be one or the other.
Yeah, well, that's a huge problem with religion these days, is it's just become so polarizing, right?
Sure.
So here's the box you gotta live in. You don't say these words, don't have these ideas, don't do these things. And it's like, and the crazy thing is, I mean, I grew up Catholic, right?
Sure. I mean, you know, Catholic school, graduated.
Yeah, Catholic school my whole life.
Aged out.
And I'm not super, I'm not super religious, but, and my mom was a Wiccan. My mom was a witch.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like the whole premise of Catholicism is...
His mom's cooler than him.
Yeah. Legit cooler.
We all know that.
Yeah.
My friends used to come over and I'd be like, when are my friends going to get here? And I'd go inside and find out they'd just been hanging out with my mom for hours.
Yeah.
She's cool.
But the whole premise of that, I mean, like, Jesus was a rebel, too. And, you know, Jesus,
dude, he totally was.
Right? Like, that's... If you really, like, get all the presupposition and the preaching and the bullshit out of the way, and really think about what that shit says, it's like, it says what you would like it to say. It really does. Wow. It really says, like, treat people well, with respect, no matter who they are or where they came from. Don't judge.
You know.
Like, it says all that shit. I think, like, that's the crazy thing.
I think that all the artists want to be...
I don't
want to
get into theology.
Hey, you brought it up.
I did, but like...
I think that all artists are looking for validation in their art.
Yeah.
And it's the artist's job to find the beauty. And what it is that we're trying to
not look for validation. That's a.
And I
but
think
we
that,
do
I think
want
that's
some kind of validation.
I come from like a religious background that were like, dude, I was studying in seminary and things.
But
and
so
like,
there
things
takes
didn't
it,
work out, and so I took an artistic approach.
But it takes.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about theology. Yeah.
But it takes a
exactly.
But it takes a courage.
Yeah.
But it takes a courage.
You get it.
It takes a courage to throw that stuff out there. It takes a courage, like what you were talking about, was saying, like, you didn't respect yourself, but you were getting tons and tons of validation.
Yeah, I was getting validation.
And so then you had to say, you know what?
And that's how we got here.
Quit, start loving myself for what I do.
Well.
Because the validation was there.
Yeah.
And you just like, do I want to criticize
myself? Well, I don't even know if I got that far. I mean, I should have been, like, able to go, all right, love yourself. I mean, that's what everybody should do, is, like, figure out, understand that, like, however broken you are,
but
like, everybody else is at least as broken.
You never.
And you need to. Just
you never had yourself. Any control over the audience seeing you.
Yeah.
You didn't have
we're
any
going
control
back to
of that.
That stage with the
the fingers,
audience
the
doing
fingers
the fingers
in the air,
yeah,
the jazz
we're
fingers
back there again.
Like you didn't have that, and
you
so.
Didn't know.
But and so like any kind of business idea I've ever done, any kind of like pizza, you know, this stuff. Like, there's always this element of, like, okay, I've created this. I'm going to launch it out there.
You want some
and my
it?
Faith comes involved because it's like, I hope God meets me somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I don't have control over that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And you got to throw it out there.
And
I think
that's,
all
what
artists,
that's what I was saying about creativity. I mean, creativity is that. It is faith.
And I think all artists have to
and
they have that crossroads of like and they even come to
see
because they don't get the validation
see,
and so the lots
what,
of artists
dude,
are like
that's what I'm saying because that's not even what faith is. Faith isn't even like, oh, I was hoping this worked out and it's worked out. That's not what
faith
is.
Trusting
faith is
that can't be seen.
I was hoping this worked out and it fucking didn't and it kicked me in the face.
Yeah.
And now I'm hoping there's something past that. Like, that's what faith is, right?
Right, right.
Faith is like, faith isn't when shit's going right. Faith is when you're eating shit
and everything's a nightmare.
Well, there's
faith is not knowing, but faith is tested.
Faith is tested.
Well, if it's not being tested,
it's not faith. It's just like hope.
I mean, you put faith in me tonight.
Faith is tested. Faith is like, I don't know. I just think like.
I mean, because what you're kind of also saying is it's also grit.
It's also grit.
You know what I mean? So I agree with that.
It's hope, and then shit goes wrong, and then you got to suck it up, and then it's faith, and then you're just like.
Yeah, I mean,
shit's gonna work out.
I think faith is. It starts off earlier than that. I mean, it takes faith to say to put something together and just launch it. Whether or not it's met with success, it takes faith to have the courage.
But I'm saying that's the creative process.
I hope
when you got this little bullshit garage, and you're packing some beers out the window, and you're like, "Well, let's keep doing it, man." That's faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. And then
getting a $100,000 and starting a business with it, that's not really faith. It's like once you're in it, you know. I think
that's the beauty of like that's what just we're doing how I right feel now.
It's
like
and it's the same with art. It's like when you're like, it's like, yeah, oh, you're a sick ass musician and everybody loves you and you're playing, like, that's not hard. That doesn't require faith.
Well, I mean, that's the idea of porch talk. It's like this is like the underbelly.
And then when it gets weird, then you're like, well, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep trying. And then that's...
I'm going to continue in my faith. I mean, yeah, I think faith is the initial... Faith is still the initial launch. I understand the beauty and the grit of when you're not met and the having to continue on, even though I understand that, but... It takes courage, man, to launch anything new.
Well, that's the same thing I'm talking about, honestly. Yeah. Like, when you just, it just, all I'm saying is when everything is expected to go right, it doesn't really count. It's like, it only counts when it's scary.
Oh, well. It's always scary.
Yeah, and when you start something new
out
of nowhere.
When you launch something new, it's scary shit.
That's what I'm saying. When you're launching something new out of nowhere, when you have no reason to expect it to succeed, when you're playing on a stage.
But even, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but Starbucks is a kind of a proven formula. But if you open a new Starbucks in an area, for me, there's an element of scary to it. Because, dude, you can talk to Alan, man. We have gone to festival after festival after festival selling my beard oil. And almost every time before we get started.
Alan, you go with him to do
hell
that?
Hell yeah.
I'm
the road dog.
I'm sure he's told me that, but I didn't put. It's hard to put all the names together with all the different events.
Alan's fantastic, but
I want to do that, dude.
But every time before we're about
my best self.
Every time we're about to do it, though, every time we're about to do it, I look at Alan. I said, "Nobody's gonna like us. They're all gonna not. Nobody's gonna come here." And I get anxious and I get nervous.
That's a test of faith. Yeah, but it's legit.
But here's the thing, dude. We come home
so
with,
many times, like a test of faith. Like that's what that. That's a.
But dude, after that pep talk, like on the way there, we're riding in this fucking van that doesn't go over 55 miles an hour. It would take like a normal vehicle 3 hours. It takes us 5.
Yeah.
And like it's a pep talk on the way up there. And like that is exactly
talk is no one's going to like us?
Well, that's part of it.
That's a good pep talk. Yeah,
and then also he like opens up the cooler and he's like, start drinking at 9 o'clock. And he's like, you gotta sell.
I'm just revving his engines.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna like
this. Now I'm popping out. I'm on the fucking grind.
He's eating Altoids.
Altoids.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wait, is he? Is Alan the aggressive salesman?
I have seen
my best sale. I'm telling you.
Is that him?
Dude, Alan, yeah. Remember I told you he was like, punk that guy. He punked the dude. He's
you're
like,
gonna, I'm gonna give you some.
He's
beer
like,
oil.
Are you gonna sit here
you're
and be a little
$20.
Bitch, or are you gonna buy some beer
you're
oil?
A bitch. That's you told me that story yesterday.
Dude,
that's a great story.
Dude, my favorite story I think comes from Oxford. Like these kids, like they're teenagers, like 17, 18 years old, and they walk up and they're like, they see that we're selling beer oil, and. They was like, it'll help my beard grow. And I was like, I don't sell miracles. And, like, I was just dissing them the whole time. It was like, so, I mean, what do you do? I was like, what do you do? I was like, well, you if you had a beard, you would put it on your beard and like it would make it softer and like.
Oh, that's good. I like the hair. I like the opening.
Yeah.
The strangers with the shit talking on them.
And I was like, I don't know if you'll ever get there.
Yeah. I mean, probably for you, you're doing.
And like, I'd shit on them for like 5 minutes, and they ended up buying like $60 worth of shit.
Yes.
And
you ever have it go wrong?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Dude, I did it to some people on the airplane on the way here. And some people just looked at me like it's crazy. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
dude, I have had so many still pictures go wrong.
Alec gets really weird around women. Like, he'll really attractive ones.
Yeah.
He makes it go wrong. He'll say something like, he'll look at him and go, do you have a beard in your life?
They don't like that.
And they'll be like, I don't know. He's like, you want one?
I'm giving out applications.
Yeah. He's like, I can, we can figure this out.
Because I've been really working for a lot of months. So.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna get us back on track real quick. I want to know, Jesse.
Love how we keep pretending there's a track. There's not.
Alan is gonna work on editing this for hours.
Actually, I'm not.
There's no way he's just gonna release all this.
Alan's gonna edit.
He's this gonna sit here. He's gonna find all the good bits.
I imagine
he'll spend probably twice as long as what it took to record.
I think he's just gonna release it multiple episodes.
Because he's not gonna sit here and have he's not just gonna have faith.
Cut is gonna be at the start.
No, record it. The piss breaks are gonna be
there's
in
like
there.
5-15 claps.
Yeah, the claps are gonna be in there.
All right, so look, I want to know because we talked about me going to Bojangles.
Yeah.
The punk rock show. Bojangles burnt down. Never reopened.
Hey, help yourself out if you like this.
That
sucked.
And then I remember going... We used to go to... Remember like Simon the German? Like there's tons of punk rock shows.
Okay.
We went to...
I'll get a slice of
it. Do it.
I want to know what's the status of punk rock in Sacramento now.
Punk rock in Sacramento? Well, okay. No, I'm thinking about punk rock in Sacramento is, I mean, there's been some shows in the last couple of weeks, but COVID kind of shut everything down. I was in a Violent Femmes cover band. We're playing not super often, but often enough. And once COVID hit, everything stopped. Nobody wanted to have shows. And even if you wanted to have a show, everybody else would judge you so harshly you couldn't have a show, right? Like,
yeah.
People would be mad at you if you had any kind of gathering. And then now that that's slowed down, a bunch of music venues have closed or changed ownership or whatever. And so it hasn't really recovered yet. But there's been some shows here and there. I'm looking to start a band just because I'm like, why not? It's a good thing to do. But I haven't really been to been to a couple shows, but not a whole lot since all this craziness happened. It's just kind of slow. People slowed down. But that being said, there was a show like last weekend that I didn't go to as I sit up all night drinking. But, I mean, it's still there.
Stop being Eeyore and tell me something good.
Well, the music scene kind of dead.
No, I was trying to find out the status of...
Well, yeah.
I want to know what his...
I'm trying to give him shit like he's been giving me shit.
Oh, don't you
kind of suck at it, man, when he's
like... Yeah, you're still warming up,
he's
man.
Stepping in like fucking... I mean, good effort, dude. Way to go.
No, that was great, man. You gave
I'm
it
still
real.
Fucking this up.
Yeah, man. Just put on... Dude, you need some pump shoes or something. You know, so you can jump a little higher.
Okay.
It's cool, though.
You're not that bad. See that I turned you shit talking into me shit talking? Gotcha.
No, Jesse. Like, right now you both are failing. It's cool though. It's whatever.
No, we're all failing.
Yeah.
Anything else to do?
No. don't know. It's been pretty
anything
slow.
Else if you eat this piece of pizza and you're trying to explain the punk rock scene in Sacramento? Anything else you got?
Me?
Yeah, what else you got?
Yeah, maybe we should hang out again and do another podcast.
Yeah.
Tour we can.
Yeah, Jesse, maybe we can actually ask maybe, you about yeah. your music.
Jesse could shit on me some more.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down for that.
Maybe
that
we can start a series.
Yeah. That's what I told him. Like, we were outside earlier on the piss break. I was like, dude, you should totally Skype in from Sacramento and shit on me once a month.
Hey, just want to say, Alan, cut your hair.
You're still a piece of shit.
Yeah. Listen to the podcast. I'm kidding. I didn't even listen to it. Bye.
Out. Jesse, out.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Out. You're an idiot.
Anything else to do, boys and girls?
I mean,
I haven't been playing music lately. I'm going to play some music with Ryan this week, hopefully.
You keep saying he's going to play some music with me. I don't know.
Let's do it. See, look. See? Look at him being a little baby about it.
Chili cook-off.
Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. Are you doing that?
I'll be there. Well, we should play some music.
Let's play some music. Come over. Help us. So, Ryan's got some songs. I kind of want to pick one, maybe two, depends on how fast we go, and just like nail it in. Figure it out, make it good.
My son out here, I think we're going to get together again.
Yeah.
Before you go.
Why wouldn't we? What are you busy?
I'm down to do, we got to do that Munson Brother episode at some point. We can do that.
Yeah. Whatever, I guess we're going
to
do that.
I mean, we don't have to. You're right.
Sister, mother. Stupid. We'll call him brother. I don't know, Jesse. I mean,
what else you got? I feel like you're wrapping it up. Are you wrapping it up?
I'm wrapping it up.
Let's wrap it up.
How many hours did we put in this?
I hope we're not putting. I hope nobody's listening to this.
Hey, I really
right hope. At three.
Anybody listening to this?
Are you putting this on the internet?
It's going to go on the internet.
All right. Can you just bleep out my name?
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you want me to call it? You want me to call Bleepasaur?
Mine too. Bleep mine out.
Dr. Octopus.
Okay.
Yeah, and I want to be Dick McLovin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Dick McLovin. Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
And I'll be Penis of the Spotlight.
Yeah.
That's great. Quinceanera, my birthday. We just celebrated my 32nd birthday.
I know. You didn't call me or anything.
Hold on, when was your birthday?
Why would I call you on my birthday?
Well, what?
I don't know.
You're supposed to call him on his birthday, you douchebag.
Well, he's supposed to let me know it's his birthday.
Only if you're a bad friend.
What do you want me to be an investigative friend?
This fucking
I don't put that shit on social media.
I'm so sorry.
Right, so it's like, hey.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
I'm going to keep losing.
That's good.
If you keep playing that game, I lose.
Hey, when was your birthday?
November 7th.
November 7th. Dude, that was last week.
Oh, well, Luke's birthday is November 4th. I'm kind of dedicated.
Oh, let's talk about you again. His birthday's
No, I was talking about my son.
Jesus.
Just my son.
Oh, just your...
It's been another episode of Porch Talk.
Let's do a birthday episode.
With the boys.
Let's do a birthday episode.
Right then?
Let's do it.
Tomorrow. Say goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks, guys. Thanks. None of my stories are true.
I've never been honest. Anything, Jesse? Have you ever been honest? Okay.
When Jesus Christ died, his body turned into dust. No, it wasn't special dust. Just plain old dust. And when Muhammad died, his body turned into dust. And no, it wasn't special dust, just plain old dust. How holy is your water? How righteous is your name? Could would just sing it in a choir, or do they shout it out in vain? Is it bold like that Mississippi River, or is it meek as a morning spring? Could you hold on to it forever and ever, or would it slip away like a dream? Was born, his body was made from dust, and no, it wasn't special dust, just plain old dust. They say cities are made from normal old dust. Yes, it's that same old stuff inside. Sing it in a choir, or do they shout it out in vain? Is it bold like that Mississippi River, or is it meek as a morning spring? Could you hold on to it forever and ever? Does it slip away like a dream? Ooh, like a dream.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.